This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Inside Toter Center, it is a Rockets playoff win, and these two teams are headed back to San Francisco. Final score, Houston 131, Golden State 116.
Rockets radio with the call, 131-116. They were up 40-24 after one. Never looked back. Never looked back the rest of the way. That score wasn't even as indicative of the game.
No,
this was a blowout.
Yeah, this was a beatdown. This was a complete beatdown, and one that, I mean, if you're a Warriors fan, you got to place the blame on Nick Harris from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to do it. Yeah.
He drove down there to see his boy Jimmy Butler close out the series. What does Jimmy do? Puts up 2-for-10 for 8 points. Pretty brutal. I feel bad for Nick. In fact, I noticed last night, Nick was on his Instagram, and he posted a photo from like some bar there around Houston, mm-hmm. I guess, or some hangout there and around Houston. And the funny thing is, he posted, it's still like 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter of the Warriors game. So he drove down there, was like, F this, like bailed from the game,
wow,
and just stopped off somewhere.
Wow.
So Nick knew it was over.
Uh-huh.
The Warriors knew it was over. They were trailing by like, what, 30 entering the fourth? It was bad.
It was 76-49 at half.
It's not good.
So whatever that is, 27 points. And that's what it was going into the fourth.
Beat down. Absolute beat down.
They traded baskets in the third. And then the Timberwolves wrap it up. So by the way, that was game five. Golden State still leads 3-2. They're going back to San Francisco for game six, where Golden State can wrap it up. And I guess they would take on Minnesota? Yeah, Minnesota next. Who beat the Lakers 103-96, despite getting not the greatest game from Anthony Edwards, 0-for-11 from beyond the arc. Didn't do it. The Lakers have to win a home game when the best player on the other team scores 15 points and goes 0-for-11 from three. You've got to win that game.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to win that game. But, I mean, also, if you're Minnesota, you probably got to feel like, well, if Rudy Gobert is actually going to put up 27 points.
And 24 rebounds.
We're going to win that game by 50. Like, they're probably disappointed they only won by 10 or whatever they did. But, yeah, this was a disappointing end of the season for the Lakers that were – there was a lot of excitement after the Luka trade and a lot of building momentum. I mean, they were third or fourth in the betting odds to win the title by the time the playoffs rolled around. It was Oklahoma City – I think it was Oklahoma City, Cleveland, Boston, L.A. And so, I mean, look, people were starting to believe there. And then in the end, Nico Harrison – vindicated. Am I right, Chop?
So is that what you're going with?
No, I'm not. But I mean, that's what a lot of the silent Nico supporters or Luka detractors that have been hiding for the last several months, boy, they are on the fan text today. They are all over
the
it.
Nico supporters.
Yeah, well, just the less Nico supporters, more the Luka haters that exist.
Well, listen, if you want to sit there and say, you know, they should have traded him still, I'm not going to fight you on that one. My argument always was, even the day after the trade, it was never, they shouldn't have traded him. I don't care. Everybody's tradable.
Yeah, I would not have traded him.
But yeah, I would not have traded him.
But the bigger sin was what you got in return and how you reacted after.
Everybody in sports is tradable. I don't care. You trade him. Go ahead. But you got to get better, more return. And then you got to have some awareness for how you butchered this thing. And don't talk to us like we're children.
Yeah. 100%.
And then don't hide. Don't hide for 2 months.
It was, you hid, you demeaned, and you attacked along the way. It was funny, though, last night.
But, Luke, I'll tell you this. He did not look like he was having fun this year at the Lakers.
No, I mean, he was devastated when he got traded. He talked about it. You saw, he's bawling on the bench 3 weeks ago? like when he comes back to the AAC, the dude clearly was not ready to leave Dallas, not in the right headspace. I bet you next year he's going to come in locked in, moved on, and ready to go forward, and that the Lakers will be better for it. Like I said, I've got a bet with Sean. It's a gentleman's bet. There's no outcome to it, but we actually made this bet while you were gone,
okay.
Chop. Because Sean's now trying to argue that like the trade was genius or something, right, Peyton? Like he's trying to say, oh, this is a genius trade, and Dallas will be a better basketball team. It's not exactly what he said, but he's kind of trying to play devil's advocate or something. I really don't know what he's doing. But he said that I told him, I bet you, I'll say that anytime over the next 3 years, if Anthony Davis is here over the next 3 years, Dallas doesn't finish above 500 a single season.
That's the bet.
Yep.
So you don't think they'll finish above 500?
Over the next 3 years, nope. As long as Anthony Davis is here. Now, if they trade Anthony Davis and they change the roster composition, whatever else, I guess that changes things. But if Anthony Davis is here as the centerpiece, they do not finish above 500. Not 1 year over the next three. It's not going to happen. There will not be a single year where they go further than the Lakers.
I think they'll finish above 500.
I don't. I mean, how many games do
they want next year?
No, they don't have Kyrie. And then
they don't have Kyrie.
They're getting Kyrie back in his 30s coming off an Achilles.
Yeah.
With Anthony Davis banged up in his 30s and no draft capital for the next decade. They're screwed.
They're in a tough spot. They're in a tough spot.
Now, last night.
Now, he thinks that they will.
He was trying to make some argument that, like, yeah, they're a better basketball team. They could have been a better basketball team this year if everybody was healthy. No, they weren't. They were losing. They weren't going to be better.
If everybody was healthy, Kyrie and Anthony, I mean, you want to make a case that they could have been a better team. I could see how you would come to that conclusion.
If you just want to stick up for the counter argument, I guess, I could see how someone could come to that conclusion. But otherwise, no, I couldn't. Now, the reason that Anthony Davis was traded, we know it's because Luke was out of shape. Apparently, the reason cut 10, Peyton, the reason that AD was traded, according to LeBron James, is because, boy, when he was asked last night, was it really tough for you to play without a big this year, a center this year? Just like Anthony Davis felt like you guys need to acquire center. Well, that's what got AD traded.
No comment. I never say that because my guy AD said what he needed and then he was gone the following week. So I got no comment. I put that uniform on every night. I gave everything I had and that's all that matters.
Man, he's clearly joking.
Like, he's joking that he's going to get traded, but I don't think he's joking that. I don't think he's joking that was clearly a upsetting thing to the organization. But it's also probably because they knew they were about to trade him. So they were a little less.
Yeah, it wasn't upsetting, but he's joking that, you know, like, that's why they traded him.
I think he's joking that he wouldn't get traded. I don't think that there's anything. I don't think there's really much joking with him at all about the idea of just, well, I mean, gosh, you don't want to speak up too much.
I don't think he disagrees with the trade.
No, I think he was more involved than he's ever let on. There's zero chance Rob Pelinka did not talk to LeBron.
I agree.
I don't think LeBron orchestrated it, but LeBron knew.
I think that they had already said that. I think they had already said
Well, initially
that.
They said no.
Right, but I think it came out that there was a report that he did.
Now, the guy that they got back in the trade, the Mavericks, Anthony Davis, he has been, would you say that he is the most, one of the bigger collateral damage fallouts from a trade in sports history.
The biggest collateral
that
damage.
Dude has no chance to win right now.
No,
and nothing of his own doing.
No, he didn't do anything wrong. I feel bad for him. I feel really, really bad for AD, man. Really bad.
This is a good profile piece from Mike Curtis over at the Dallas Morning News, and I wanted to read some of it. The headlines, Anthony Davis's journey suggests he can handle pressure in Dallas. So this is a write-up. He says, Anthony Davis was nervous. The feeling wasn't foreign. It happens before every game, he says, whether it's the NBA Finals or the preseason, even for a player who's won it all. The hours ahead of tip-off on this particular Saturday afternoon in February were spent pondering how his new fan base would receive him and his prolific two-way talents. Dude, could you imagine, too? Like, you're nervous, but you're scared of the reaction as a superstar to your first home game, how the fans are going to treat
you. Yeah.
That's got to be the most unique position any superstar has ever been in.
You're thinking you're going to get booed out of the arena.
There's a concern. He's like nervous of, oh my gosh, I'm one of the 10 to 15 best players in basketball, and I don't know if they're going to like me. And it was a legitimate fear. You didn't know how you were going to be received. Davis had the emotional intelligence to understand people across the city were still in varying stages of grief over the move that brought him to Dallas as the centerpiece of the trade that some characterized as the most lopsided in sports history. Davis's tension faded, as it always does, as soon as the ball was tossed into the air. There was no more time to think. It was time to play. 4 minutes and 26 seconds later, Davis sprung into the air and tip-slammed his own miss over an unexpected defender. The sold-out crowd of 20,000 showered Davis with cheers before he delivered a message of his own. "I'm here," Davis yelled into the stands, as if to reassure the skeptics that he's the person who can replace what they wish they never lost. Davis arrives in Dallas with a golden opportunity to cement his legacy and take the reins of a franchise whose general manager decided to end the Luka Doncic era, trading a wildly popular generational talent who had accepted the proverbial baton from Dirk Nowitzki. Though the shoes he's tasked to fill are uniquely immense, Davis brings championship pedigree, all-NBA talent, and the determination to give a heartbroken fan base hope. The Mavericks are building this new identity around Kyrie Irving and Davis, whose mission is to show a distraught fan base why his unparalleled two-way skills make him the one who can lead them to another title. And throughout this piece that they talk about, and Anthony Davis had spoken with the Dallas Morning News, he was asked about the adversity that he's facing having to replace Luka. And he said, "I don't really believe in adversity. I've always been a solutions-based guy. Here's a problem. What's the solution now? I could sit here and complain and be sad or mad or angry, whatever emotion you want to attach to that feeling."
He doesn't believe in adversity?
Yeah, what he views it as is he doesn't believe in dwelling on the adversity. He believes in the solution. So not that he doesn't believe in the existence. I think he doesn't believe in the mindset of viewing it as adversity. You need to view it as you're finding your solutions. So instead of dwelling in the negative, "I got this problem," it's "I've got the solution." Anthony Davis doesn't think he has problems. He thinks he has solutions. That's his job.
Gotcha.
And so it's just a mindset flip, basically. He said, "It's a game. It's basketball. I've trained my mind to go through these things." So one of the things about the attitude that he approaches, that's one of the things apparently Nico and the Mavericks really like about him and the approach that he has. But an example of sort of the way that he's trying to find himself in a better spot here and ingratiate himself to his teammates and connect with them. They were actually, he had gotten together when they'd won the play-in game. He actually got together a group of teammates and held a watch party and a dinner the night before the Mavericks. It was the night before their play-in game against the Kings. He organized a dinner and a watch party for the 7-8 matchup between the Warriors and the Grizzlies, who lost the game and had to beat Dallas to earn a date with the top seed Oklahoma City Thunder. So he hosted the dinner. He got everybody together. He wanted to watch it as a team, kind of connect. And it's nice. And I really like Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis is a great player. He's not just a good player. He's a great player. He's not healthy very often, but he's a great player.
All time.
And it's just, I think, not one of these things.
Great, he's going to Hall of Fame.
One of these things that you have to look at when you see this piece or when you read Anthony Davis and talk about his mindset is just, it's so difficult for him to be able to win. It's going to be so difficult.
Here, it's impossible.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just not win, even necessarily like wins and losses column. It's going to be so difficult for him to ever win over people the way he needs
to. He has to win more than one title, because I think most people here assumed we were going to get one with Luka.
Yeah.
So we were going to get at least one. So he's going to have to win more than one.
But as they've talked about, winning one with Luka probably means more to the fans than winning one with Anthony Davis.
There's no doubt, man. There's no doubt. Winning one with a homegrown player just... that the SEC, man, just means more. It just means more. There's no doubt about it. I don't think there's any arguing that either. Some fans just want to win, period. They don't care with who. Most fans aren't like that. Most fans want to be able to have like an emotional connection. And the journey of building it is fun. The journey of building it, like going through the ups and downs, the inherent trauma of the ups and downs, that builds character in a fan base. You got to have it. You got to have it. Let's go around the NFL next. We got to call out this one legendary NFL franchise. They need to be called out for the simps that they have become. It's next on The Fan. Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece coming up in about 18 minutes from now at 9:40. Stars, Avs, game 6 tonight, baby.
Dallas.
Let's go.
Stars.
Let's go. Let's wrap this thing up. Move on to the next round. Get back to the conference finals again, at least. Maybe the Stanley Cup final. You never know. Get back there.
I'm a believer. I think it's getting done tonight. Let's go for an otter shutout. That's what we're going to get tonight.
You want an otter shutout?
That's what I'm calling. I'm calling for an otter shutout.
All right. I get down with that. I get down with that one, absolutely. So Stars tonight.
Dallas. Stars.
They say 8:30. It's, you know, it's like 8:45, 8:50 on TV.
Yeah, it's nowhere close.
No, it's nowhere close.
No.
It's nowhere close to an 8:30 start time. You know, Bill Belichick or the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Let's go Bill Belichick.
All right. Because,
my gosh, this will not stop.
This will not stop, man. Jordan Hudson has an official title at Belichick Inc. She is the chief operating officer, and she played an instrumental role in stopping Hard Knocks. That is the latest that is coming out. That she played an I can't even keep up with the latest to come out, by the way, on half of this stuff. But she is playing a major role in stopping the Hard Knocks. She wanted to be heavily involved, according to multiple industry sources. She spoke. They spoke of the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly. But in an email to UNC officials, she basically said, "I'm in charge," and in terms of the production of this, and this is how it's going to be. And she basically is the one that got Hard Knocks to be like, "Yeah, we're not going to go. You're putting too many ground rules on this one."
Yeah.
And she basically got this whole thing canceled.
Well, because CBS posted a statement yesterday, and they said, "When we agreed to speak with Mr. Belichick, it was for a wide-ranging interview. There were no preconditions or limitations to this conversation."
It was supposed to be two interviews, too.
"This was confirmed repeatedly with his publisher before the interview took place and after it was completed." And then here we are. We're sitting around, and they're going, "Oh, no, can't talk about that. We're not talking about that. We are not."
No.
No.
Not talking about it.
Nope. And then Bill Belichick has the stones to release his statement yesterday and say, "She was just doing her job. It's her job." His exact quote, "She was simply doing her job."
She already has, and they say, and because of him, an $8 million real estate portfolio.
It's so ridiculous, dude. This whole thing, and I've never seen it, like we were talking about yesterday, I've never seen a greater shift in somebody's personality, their public persona. Now, maybe he's always been that way behind the scenes, I don't know, but his public persona, this is the greatest shift we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Bill Belichick statement yesterday?
Yes.
He says, "The final 8-minute segment does not reflect the productive 35-minute conversation which we had, which covered a wide range of topics related to my career. Instead, it presents selectively edited clips and stills from just a few minutes of the interview to suggest a false narrative that Jordan was attempting to control the conversation, which is simply not true." If she says we're not talking about this and she shuts it down,
that's an attempt.
She's attempting to control the conversation. It doesn't matter if it was a sliver of it or not. She's trying to dictate it.
Yeah. So look, she has put herself into the public eye. She's inserted herself in the public eye. He's already a public figure, but she has inserted himself there. Now, do you know who the Gossip Girl of Boston sports is?
No.
It's someone named Jake. He put out a Route 1 billboard back in 2021 blasting Belichick. He said in an he's like a gossip columnist thingy or whatever. His belief is that they met, yes, on an airplane, but were set up by a matchmaker. They purposely tried to get the seats next to each other. He says wealthy people don't leave things to chance. It creates the illusion of a spontaneous connection, but the vetting was already done behind the scenes, and that if you follow her, I don't know who Caroline Leavitt is. She's a communications person. Wait, isn't that the who's the press secretary?
Caroline Leavitt, you said?
Is that the press secretary?
She is an American novelist. Is what
okay.
This says.
But they're the same age. They follow each other on social media, same region, high profile relationships, massive age gaps, and that this is all very calculated. That this whole thing, that this is very calculated on Jordan Hudson's part and the way that she is acting. I don't know if any of that's true. I have no idea. But this is getting, like, messy. And Ted Johnson, you know who Ted Johnson is?
Yeah.
Ted Johnson played in the NFL.
Yep, for the Patriots.
He played for Bill Belichick. He is on the radio on WEEI in Boston, and he had a take on this one.
And I'm surprised that UNC never called Atlanta on why they passed on Bill Belichick and hiring Atlanta. My feeling is that the Atlanta Falcons are kind of looking at the UNC going, "You should have called us. You know, you should have called us." And I say all that to say this. that I think the UNC Carolina Tar Heels should consider firing Bill Belichick. That they should consider letting him go at this point. It's a lot of money, and they're deep into, obviously, their preparation for next year. But I look at Bill Belichick, and I wonder if he's fit to coach an NFL team, let alone fit to coach a college team, which, again, I put more onus on the character and personality and just overall a character, if you will, of a college coach than I do a pro coach. And so I'm worried that Bill Belichick just isn't fit to coach college kids, and UNC should consider cutting ties with Bill Belichick.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's strong. That's yeah. But look, I mean, dude, could you imagine?
Oh, my God. Could you imagine if they did?
The reverberations from that. It'd be so bad. This is just, but I mean, you're talking about, you did not hire the normal Bill Belichick.
No, you
hired. If UNC thought they were hiring that guy, they didn't get that.
No, they got a teenager.
They got somebody, I mean, it's, I don't even know that it's that. Like, he's completely, all of his communications turned over. She's by his side, dictating everything. Like I said, it does strike me, I made the Casey Kasem reference the other day. It does strike me as almost like an elderly person that's being taken advantage of by the young person standing to inherit money or something.
There are people calling this elder abuse. Listen, you know, you think you're hiring Belichick, who is the complete, he is in complete control. He has the full autonomy stick. He holds it. He wields that.
By the way, you were right. That is the press secretary, and they're saying it's because she's 27 and her husband's 60. So that's
okay. Same kind of situation,
that's
right?
The reference, yeah.
This is older, you know, very, a lot older. But could you imagine? You hire Bill. Bill has turned over personnel control to Michael Lombardi, right?
Yep.
He's turned over communication to his girlfriend. All he's doing is coaching.
I guess.
Isn't Bill, didn't what Bill did in New England is create an entire culture of one singular voice?
That was the idea.
Now that voice could be him. It could be Tom Brady's. Right?
Or in this case, Jordan Hudson's.
Or this case, but in this case, it's not one singular voice. It's his voice on the practice field, but it's Lombardi's voice in the personnel department, and it's Jordan Hudson's voice in the communications department.
Yeah,
he does not have a singular voice anymore.
Yeah, he's just, it's completely been flipped on its head, the way that he approaches his handling of his business matters. It's completely different. And I'm stunned. Like I said, it's one of the biggest role reversals. This would be equivalent to Greg Popovich, like, really wants to do, like, interviews after every quarter in basketball all of a sudden. Like, all of a sudden, he's just like, I really want to do an outreach to the media. Like, it's such a, this is so counter to everything we know about you. It's just so weird. And I don't know. I think we're going to find out over time that there was a lot of weird stuff going on with this. Because, I mean, there's little rumblings out there about what the situation is behind the scenes. But, man, it's bizarre. There's a lot of people talking, like you mentioned, about just regret that UNC might have at this point.
The Pittsburgh Steelers should be ashamed of themselves.
Who are they dating?
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
Apparently. Although they aren't really in a, it's a more of an entanglement.
Who's in more control? Aaron Rodgers over the Steelers or Jordan Hudson over Bill Belichick? 877-8811.
I think it's Aaron Rodgers over the Steelers. But apparently, according to reports, reports from ESPN Pittsburgh suggest that Rodgers was on the minds of the Steelers front office when they were drafting. That he was like he was kind of dictating their draft. He's not even a member of their team. That they were drafting or not drafting certain positions in order to still entice him. And now they're still saying, hey, you know what? Take your time. We're waiting on you. We're just waiting on him. You're the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. You're not the Titans. You're not the Panthers. You've got a 100 years of staying power here. Just tell Aaron Rodgers to just, you know, either sign on or don't.
Yeah.
But this is not if it's 26-year-old Aaron Rodgers, then you wait. 41 or whatever year old, just tell, dude, either sign on or not.
But if you're Tomlin and you're trying and you're in control of personnel and you're trying to just push something over the edge, and you're just like, I want to win another title because I'm not going to be here for forever. I'm not going to be here very long. Then yeah, maybe you do say, I just need the quarterback right now. That's what I need. That's what I need to prioritize.
I get it. But like, Man, it makes you look like you're simping for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, 100%. 100% does. And I mean, that's, gosh, those are the only, probably because they recognize those are the only organizations Rodgers wants to deal with. You have to cater to him. And if they want him there, then they're going to have to look like they're doing everything they can to just meet exactly what he wants. Is what I would guess, but still.
Real quick, did you hear the Shador call with the Browns?
No, I did not.
The Browns leaked the call where they drafted him. And it was the
I've
GM.
I've heard the other call where he thinks he's going to draft
him. Yes, it was the GM. It was Andrew Berry and then Stefanski.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan,
you hear me? Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, I know it's been a long weekend. We're going to take you off support here, all right, brother?
Yes, let's do it.
Hey, listen, you got to come in, you got to work hard, you got to earn your job, earn your keep. It doesn't matter where you're taking, it matters what you do from this point forward, all right? Talented, I spent a lot of time with you as a big kid. Let's get ready to go to work and improve
us over
the past week. All right, I got a coach here right now.
What's up, coach?
Hey, man. Remember I told you the Lord works in mysterious ways, right?
No, for sure.
It's an opportunity, and we're going to get to work together, okay, buddy?
Woo! Beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Boy, they are hamstrung financially by Deshaun Watson because they can't get good recording equipment for those phone calls
they
at all.
Can't.
Dear God.
No, they can't. But like, you know, I think this is like the narrative. They're leaning into it too. Like they're like, okay, you got to come in and work hard.
Because that's clearly the thing that everybody's worried about with him.
Yeah. Like, do you think they said that with all their first, like, who was their first pick?
I would imagine.
They said with all their first round picks?
They might.
Or all their picks in general?
They might get a little bit of that. Yeah, I mean, you get the standard, like, come in here, ready to work.
Ready to work.
But maybe saying it like in such a,
gotta earn your keep,
you're
man.
You're gonna, right?
You're not be handing anything.
Usually they'll lay out the expectation, say, hey, we just need you to come in here and work hard. But they don't normally go like, all right, you got to work hard, right?
Yeah.
Like, they don't normally ask it in a question. It
sounded very parental.
It did.
I don't know, just kind of whatever. I started to feel bad for Shador over the last few days. Like, that was,
yeah,
that had to suck to be sitting there like that. He did a lot of it on his own.
He laid the groundwork.
And so did the people around him, but still couldn't help feeling bad. Cross start at the KNC Masterpiece next.
Butler swings and sends one high into the air, deep left center field. Leote going back. He's onto the track. This one is just over the wall and into the A's bullpen. An opposite field grand slam for Lawrence Butler. And now it's a 7-1 lead for the Athletics.
Hixie with a call in a game you heard right here. Rangers lose 7-1 to the Swinging A's right here on 105 through the Fan. 1:35 first pitch today. 1 o'clock pregame, which means a shortened show for these two gentlemen who appear to be at Globe Life Field, if I can make out that backdrop.
Yes, it is.
Oh, what stadium do you think we might be at? If it's, like, let's say it's not Globe Life Field. Yeah, where do you think we might
that was
be?
That was a good guess right there on my part. I deduced it.
Yep, he is the most deductive one at the station. We've always said that.
Look, RJ, I think you're great. I don't know if that I would put you at the top of that list.
Of deductive reasoning?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's rude.
Who's at the top?
Who's number one? It's me. I get it. I know. All the time.
No, Hagee
led you to water.
Corey, I don't know if I put you at the top of the list.
Hagee would say himself.
No.
Oh, wow.
That's a good question. I feel like I should have had an answer ready if I'm going to say it's not. You know what? That's a fair point. I don't want to be one of those people who's like, I don't like that idea. Well, what's your idea? I got nothing. Mm-hmm. So you know what, RJ? I will rescind that statement until I have a different answer for
you. There you go.
It could be you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it springs to mind right away if I just go like, well, gosh, that guy, he's a deductive reasoner if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anybody at the station really pops like that for me.
See, I don't even want to be a deductive reasoner. I just know.
You know who I could see it being is Dawson. Like, I could see Dawson going like, well, there's this and this and this. And so once you say this, we're at this point. Like, I could see Dawson being that way.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I can see that. What do we have coming up for the show today?
Well, guys, as you said, it is a short show today. About at noon today, we'll talk with our man Jared Sandler on his birthday. He'll pop by for us and have a little conversation, obviously, about the Enrique Segura trade that just happened today.
What?
Big-time trade happening for the Rangers, a DFA'd player for another right-handed 20-year-old pitcher. So we'll see how that works. That's coming up at noon. We will go into the Stars' physicality. We're at 10:20, so we're looking for, man, tonight's game. I'm not sure. I've been pumped for games before, Kevin.
Oh.
Tonight's game, yeah. I want to destroy Colorado.
Amped.
I want to bury that team tonight.
Yep.
So you want to score in the first 9 seconds again?
Yes.
I Maybe 8 seconds.
First 8 seconds.
Yeah,
okay.
I want
All right.
to score in the first Fair 8 seconds, and then I want to score in the first 10 seconds after that. So
yep.
I want to be up 2-0.
Let's go.
Yeah. And I
Let's
want
go.
I don't want Pete DeBoer to have to, you know, hang his "Hey, I never lose game sevens" shirt
okay.
up. I want him just to be like, we didn't even need to get to game seven. And we didn't even have two of our best players. So
yep.
good luck to everybody else in the league.
Not only does he never lose game sevens, he's 13-5 following losses as the Stars coach.
Do we know if that one fan travels who wears the suit?
The Bednar
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, like I would love to see how that guy got a ticket right behind the Colorado bench in Colorado and still has that suit.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
I can't imagine. I was wanting to we were trying to get Jake Reitman to go to this game. trying to get him to drive up.
Yeah, you said that if he left at the I was listening this
yeah.
morning. You said if he leaves now, he'll make it in time for the end of the third period.
End of the third period.
And I was thinking, I was like, isn't it like an 11 or 12 hour drive? And it was 8 o'clock, and I was like, man, that's almost perfect timing
yeah.
for him to get there somewhere in the middle of
yeah,
it. But
he can
I don't
get
know.
There. He can make it
I don't
happen.
Know how clocks work.
He can make it happen. I don't know, man. I'm excited for tonight's game. I just hope it doesn't start at 9 o'clock. But they have been.
It will.
It will.
Yeah,
it
just
will.
Go ahead and prepare
it will.
For that.
I'm like, can we just start it at like 8:45? Before 8:45.
Okay.
In the next round,
maybe.
Do you think that it's possible for us to get earlier starts?
No. Are you kidding
no.
me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding
I'm
me?
With Troppy.
This is the hustle that the TV networks have that thinks that Texas is in California.
Californians are in Texas is what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's the reverse.
I heard that from Mayor Pete yesterday.
As you did. Look
yeah,
at that.
Good.
See, you're totally.
I was very disappointed in myself.
No, that's not politics,
oh,
dude. He's the mayor
that's
of
a different,
Anna.
Oh, different Mayor
yeah.
Pete. My
yeah.
bad.
Pete
Mayor Pete Kane. You know, I should have known. Like, if I was running against him, I would go up and vandalize all of his signs. Put
with
it in
mud.
Put an apostrophe T. Pete Kaint.
Ah, there you go.
That's what I would have done. That's what
I love it, dude.
That's
you know,
I love it.
RJ, it's moments like this that I think either you would get zero votes as a politician
or all of them
have the biggest mandate since like Reagan in 84 or something. I really can't tell one way or another.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going around doing that?
Yeah, I really don't know.
Apostrophe T's on everything.
We almost died leaving Anna yesterday, by the way. The storms were ridiculous. I know you guys said it was dark. It was really
yes.
bad. How bad did it get over here?
It looked like it was nighttime. Like
yeah.
it was
yeah.
in this. Dawson said the flooding was absolutely crazy. He said he saw a sign rip off on his way in of like a
bad
fast
deal?
Food restaurant. No,
or?
No, not get like blew away. And
oh,
he was like,
okay.
Oh no.
Okay.
But yeah, man, it was nasty. We were very lucky that we were inside, but it was gross outside.
Yeah, because we were getting out of the car to driveway and like Chop and I both saw the same power flash. Like I guess a branch scraped a transformer, did something like that. So it wasn't like if I'd seen two, I was like, all right,
yeah.
that's a tornado. But
okay.
it was behind me. So I saw it flash and I was like, oh, that's not good.
I don't know if you guys saw this on the way back, probably, but the thing that always gets me is when you see the digital billboards that have changed up to flood warning, if you see a flood, turn your car around. And I'm like, well, hopefully I would figure that out on my own, but that is concerning that they're like, that might happen. Right
How are you
here.
Supposed to turn around on a highway, though? Like,
That's
you
a good question. That's a very good question.
They're coming at you, now you're going the wrong way.
There's only so
guy.
Much space in the billboard.
Yeah.
They didn't tell me what to do after that.
Speaking of being on highways, what happened in Wise County, Bobby?
Okay, so yeah, there was the storm yesterday, and the storms yesterday caused a lot of issues, and one of the issues they caused was a truck to overturn over there in Wise County near Alvord, and $800,000 worth of dimes spilled onto the highway. That's 8 million dimes. There were over 8 million dimes that scattered all over the highway, and we started trying to figure this out. If you were given like a minute, okay, you just pull up to that highway, and they're like, hey,
yeah.
we need to clean these up.
Yeah.
We're going to give you 1 minute
okay.
to just grab as many handfuls and throw them in your car as you can. how much money do you think you'd leave with? Keep in mind, you got 10 of them, so picture 10 dimes in your hand. That's a dollar. So then just how much do you think you're able to throw into your car in 60 seconds?
I think I could get...
$20.
$70 of dimes.
See, you guys are... You're going low,
yep,
like Peyton.
I agree.
Peyton said that he thought he'd only get like $80. Mm-hmm.
That's 800 dimes.
That's I know, I but said. Here's the thing. You got to think about this. You pick up 10... How many can you fit in your hand? $5 to $7, and you pick up two handfuls, throw
you
them in your car.
You think you can fit 700 dimes in your hand and not... Wow.
I mean, no, the sleeves are $5.
Oh, you said $5 to $7.
Yeah, so we're talking 70, okay. 80 dimes.
Yeah.
That's 10 to, that you're right there, you're talking 10 to 14 bucks.
Yeah.
And just picking up handfuls and throwing them. You've got a minute to do that.
How? Okay.
Oh, and I pulled up, like, I don't have to run to my car.
No, dude, you pull your truck right up there. Mm. You pull your truck up next to it, and you have
the
bed.
Biggest gold mine.
And you just keep shoveling it into the bed of the truck. I'm walking away with 10 grand.
And Kevin, you're not.
No, you're not.
Kevin, you're not diving in headfirst like Scrooge McDuck into these dimes, right?
RJ, yes, correct.
These things are in giant piles, like the poop in Jurassic Park, where she shoved her hand in there.
Mm-hmm. And I hope you're still going to wash up before dinner. I'm just
shoveling into the truck.
That's RJ, I want to make sure I've got this on record. So your contention is that you're going to pick up 100,000 dimes
in 60 seconds,
minute.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
I think I am.
I think you're not.
Here's the great
Prove
part about
wrong.
This.
Prove me wrong.
This is exactly.
Crash
choppy. This is how I win arguments with Kevin all the time.
Yeah.
All right. Kevin is very, once you say prove me wrong or you don't know, he'll go, you know what? You're right. Instead of continuing to argue, he'll go, actually, you're right. I can't prove you wrong. And that's the way to win an argument with Kevin. However, I feel like we need to find a company that has all these dimes.
Yes.
And, like, I don't know, maybe the government. That's a company we could ask. And say, hey, can you bring a bunch of dimes to the station and see how many Choppy can get into his truck? And then Choppy drives away with all the dimes.
Also, think about the cleanup, though, okay? So they have 8 million dimes on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have just, like, Wise Counter just goes, look, leave it for now. What we're going to do is we're going to sell $20 raffle tickets, okay? And people are going to buy them up. We're going to make back our money that way, the money that we lost from spilling the dimes on there. And then we're going to tell people, we're going to pick 50 of you, and we're going to say, go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
You just get to keep any dimes that you pick up, and people just scramble and clean them up. I think that's a good way to do it.
Okay.
I think it's brilliant because you don't now have to pay the cleanup crew. The cleanup crew
exactly.
Would you rather do that or assign plots like the Gold Rush? And you're like, here, this is your section that you get. And you're like, oh, I hope it's got a lot of dimes.
And then you'll have those Oklahoma people running out there too quickly, right? Yeah.
Now, would you rather have $1 million or a penny that doubles every day for 30 days?
$1 million.
Hold on. A penny that doubles every 30 days? Because it's every day I'm in on
every
that.
Day for 30 days. It doubles every day for 30 days.
What's that? What is that going to be, Kevin? Because that's 2 cents the next day. 4 cents. No, that's not going to work.
No, I don't feel like it adds up. Now I'm just thinking in my head. I could be totally off, but I don't think it adds up.
I think it adds up to like $10 million. I think it does. I think. How do you do that, Kevin?
I'm working on it right now.
Yeah, because if the penny doubles every day, then it's just 2 cents every day, like essentially. But if the money that you have, like both pennies and then all the pennies.
Now, Kevin, by day 13, you're at about 5,000 pennies on day 13.
No, I think.
So you still got 17 days to go of doubling.
You're above $5 million, so I take it back, RJ. You're a genius. So, give me the penny.
Yeah. $10,737,418.43.
How did you figure that out?
I just put it into ChatGPT really fast.
I need a penny. We need to find a penny.
I just counted it in my head.
I don't know how you do that. That's how you got a Duke, I guess.
It's his deductive reasoning.
It didn't go.
That's how he did it.
But didn't go. Does it even count if you get in and you don't go somewhere?
I didn't say I went to Duke.
I credit him all the time. I'm like, look, man, he's the smartest dude I know. He could have gone to Duke.
Could have gone to Duke. Could have gone to Duke.
He turned it down.
But then I used the finances of college to be like, whoa, that's a mistake.
If only you would have had that penny. If you would have had that penny, you would have been
sad. I would have been rolling.
You needed like that one penny.
It's like when Jerry Jones asked me if I wanted to go to dinner, and I was like, no, I already have dinner plans with my wife for our anniversary.
Dumb.
You know?
Wow.
They're in center field today at the Globe. If you're heading out, go say hi. It's the KNC Masterpiece. Bobby just gave me a big wide-eyed look. I don't know what's going on there.
I was saying bye to them.
All right. See you, gentlemen. KNC Masterpiece next.